This is Africa Tech Kin with Danny That Guy. Logging into biggest tech stories in Zimbabwe, Africa, and the world, right here on ZFM Stereo.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Africa Tech Kin right here on ZFM Stereo, your weekly breakdown of the week's biggest tech headlines. I'm your host, Danny That Guy, your guide through the sometimes complicated streets that are the world of technology. And what a week it's been. Tonight, we're going to start off with health because the Zimbabwean government has just signed off on the country's national health strategy for 2026 up to 2030. And it's got digital at its center. Then we're going to hit the road, literally, because Zinara has started digging at the toll gates. And if you drive anywhere in this country, you're going to have to understand the new e-tolling system. And the national broadcaster, ZBC, has finally joined the streaming age. ZBC has launched Z Plus. We're going to take a look at that launch, as well as check out the app together. We're also going to talk about how African startups fared in the first half of 2026, especially when it comes to funding. A total of $1.44 billion was invested in African startups. So we're going to look at which fields and what it tells us about the state of play in African startups in 2026. We'll also meet a Zimbabwean startup who's trying to fix freight across the whole region. And we're going to close off with the heavyweight fight that is brewing in the tech world right now. OpenAI versus Anthropic. Because OpenAI just released their latest flagship models, GPT 5.6, with Sol, Luna, and Terra attached to it, taking on Claude Fable 5. So we're going to see who's winning. As always, this is a conversation, so please send in your thoughts and contributions. If you're listening to this live on radio, you can do so via WhatsApp. The number is 0772-168-045. Or if you would like to get in touch, if you're listening to this on demand, and just as a reminder, this is available on demand either through podcasts. Just search for ZFM Stereo Current Affairs on your favorite podcast app or on YouTube. Just subscribe to ZFM Stereo and you can watch this show on YouTube as well with my non-AI generated face. If you're going to do so, please contribute in the comments or on social media using the hashtag AfricaTechKin. So let's get straight into it, shall we? Our first story. This is news about the launch of the country's health strategy. Last week at Norton Hospital, the Minister of Health and Childcare, Dr. Douglas Mombeshora, launched the National Health Strategy 2026 up to 2030. This is the blueprint for the next 5 years of healthcare in this country. As a quick overview, there are three headline pledges in this strategy. Number one is to raise the domestic health funding to at least 15% of the national budget, which would finally bring Zimbabwe in line with the Abuja Declaration that African governments signed way back in 2001. Two, create 32,000 new health worker posts by 2030, roughly doubling the workforce. And three, this is the one we're paying extra attention to as a tech show, connect every single public health facility in this country to the internet by 2030. At this launch event, the minister highlighted the various initiatives in the healthcare industry, as well as the goals to try and achieve universal healthcare by 2030 in Zimbabwe. There was that promise of connecting all the remaining public healthcare facilities to the internet. The reason this is a big deal is because of something called Impilo. If you've never heard of it, Impilo is Zimbabwe's national electronic health record system. It's run by the Ministry of Health and Childcare and reportedly developed by a 100% Zimbabwean technical team. The idea behind it is instead of that battered paper card that you would have to carry with you to the clinic or the doctor, Impilo creates one digital record of you as a patient that will include your registration, your treatment history, prescriptions, lab results, even medicine stock levels at the facility, all captured electronically. And it's built to talk to the other government health systems, the national reporting system, the global platform, DHIS2, and the laboratory information system. So your test results attach to your record automatically. So your medical history follows you instead of it living in one particular filing system at one particular clinic. Okay, where do we stand with this digital health record system in this country right now? It's surprisingly difficult to find statistics. As of late 2024, the Health Ministry's permanent secretary said Impilo had been deployed at around 1,178 facilities, which is just over half of the country's healthcare facilities, at what he called varied levels of adoption. And he said, we are working to establish internet connectivity at 1,322 health facilities, working with the ICT Ministry and POTRAS. But researchers who evaluated Impilo in a study that was published last year found that these healthcare facilities faced the same problems that kept coming up over and over again. And that was unreliable internet connectivity, power cuts, training gaps, and staff shortages. So while the deployment of this Impilo system to all these facilities is great in theory, clearly practically there's some problems that it is facing. And those problems need to be solved if Impilo is supposed to work as it's intended to. So this new health strategy is impactful for the Impilo system, because if truly every facility genuinely has reliable internet, reliable power by 2030, then the full vision of Impilo becomes possible. Electronic prescribing, clinical decision support, maybe even a patient portal that each of us could be able to access and to check our own results. So back to this launch event, the launch of that health strategy. The minister did say that the public health system still faces serious problems. These include high staff turnover, poor use of budgets, with local clinics and hospitals receiving less than 50% of the operational funds allocated to them. Well, hence the strategy to try and raise that domestic health spending to 15%. Let's hope it works. Although I must say the idea of universal healthcare coverage by 2030 does seem a little bit ambitious, but it is something that we would all want. Let's move on. Let's talk toll gates. ZINARA, the Zimbabwe National Road Administration, has begun rolling out dedicated express lanes for its electronic tolling system. If you've driven the Bulawayo to Victoria Falls Highway recently, you may have noticed some construction happening at the Umguza toll gate. This is the first site under construction for these new e-tolling lanes. According to ZINARA's statement, the upgrade will expand the toll gate approaches from 1 to 3 lanes in each direction, with one lane on each side reserved as an ETAG express lane. ZINARA says that the plan is to take this model across the tollgate network countrywide, all 29 tollgates in Zimbabwe. Okay, what is this e-tolling? E-tolling uses a technology called RFID, or radio frequency identification. RFID-enabled electronic tags, called e-tags, will be affixed to vehicle windscreens. You load a prepaid account, or you link an account to that e-tag. So when your vehicle approaches the toll gate, the system automatically scans and verifies the tag. Once it's been validated, the boom gate opens automatically, allowing you to proceed through the toll gate without having to stop or make a cash payment or undergo any kind of manual processing. Reports have put the whole process at under 2 seconds per vehicle. It's not new technology. Zimbabwe has been running this since December 2024 when it was launched, run by ZINARA in partnership with a technology firm called InstaToll. They piloted it for 6 months at Ntabazi Nduna, the oldest toll plaza in the country, then went full-scale operation around September last year. So by December of last year, per ZINARA's own figures, the system was active at 25 of 29 toll gates in the country. It had handled over 932,000 transactions in 2025. And the ZINARA board chairman, Dr. George Manyaya, said, as we speak, 30,000 motorists have signed up to this e-tolling system. He was at pains to say that this express lane is for everyone, not for government officials, which apparently was the rumor that was going around at the time. However, even though the system already exists and is already at these toll gates, right now, all motorists queue together, regardless of their preferred method of payment. So the advantage of having this e-tolling system is not really being shown. These new express lanes being constructed are supposed to improve that traffic flow at the toll gates. If you've ever been in a toll gate queue, especially when the network drops, then you'll know just how difficult it can be to move through quickly. A tolling manager told the news at some point that because of our multi-currency mix of US dollars, Zig, Swipe, mobile money, if you just have a glitch of a minute, the queue becomes lengthy. Imagine a minute per car. So once construction is done and your nearest toll gate gets its express lane, it now becomes a huge advantage to have this e-tag, because the idea is you'll be able to just sail through the toll gate without having to speak to anyone or stop or make any payments. Especially around holiday periods when there's a much higher number of travelers on the highway. Remember, this is prepaid, so you get rewards for being organized and making sure that you put your money well in advance. Also, ZINARA did announce that there were plans for an e-wallet that was linked to ZimSwitch. So the idea is you'd have this one wallet that you can pay your licensing and your tolls from this one location, which is interesting. So there is still a long way to go for this e-tolling to become a standard in the country. 30,000 signups is good. And construction starting to have these dedicated e-toll lanes is also good. But remember, there's still 28 other toll gates that need to be completed, as well as the potentially over a million vehicles that are registered in the country that also need to register this e-tag system. Of course, not the full million on the roads actively, but still, it does show that there's clearly room for more motorists to adopt this new e-tolling system. Let's move on to our next story, shall we? This is a quick news that we're going to get into before we break for a bit. On Thursday evening in Harare, the national broadcaster ZBC officially launched Zed Plus, its streaming platform. The Information Publicity and Broadcasting Services Minister, Soda Jemu, was present. He said the platform integrates television, radio, and content creation into a single digital ecosystem. Okay, so this new streaming platform, Zed Plus, gives you the broadcaster's three main channels. That's ZBC TV. There's a 24-hour news channel called News 24 and a 24-hour music channel called Jive TV, as well as all six radio stations. And of interest, a video-on-demand library of local dramas, documentaries, music shows. It's worth noting the timing of this launch. This came just days after ZBC's channels started being carried in high definition on DSTV. So I'm sure there's some connection between those two. Now, I'm using the word officially because the official launch happened this past week. However, the app has been in the App Store for a couple of months now. The Google Play Store listing shows that it has had over 10,000 downloads already. So Thursday was really just the formal unveiling of something that was already out in the public, although not officially announced. It's on Android, it's on Apple devices, there's a web platform, and apparently there's also a TV app out as well. So how is it? How does this platform work? Well, the live TV and radio works, the streaming is clean, though the TV stream does struggle with playing smoothly, I must say. The stream defaults to 1080p, and it would stutter and choke periodically when I was using it. So the assumption is if it's trying to deliver 1080p and there's something that's blocking it, it doesn't seem able to automatically drop down to lower resolutions as we are used to seeing on YouTube or Netflix. I'm sure that's an easy fix. There's also a few classics on the on-demand section of this platform. I saw Gringo, Parafin, even Ezomgido. But content library still is quite light. I'm sure that there will be more added as time goes on. The interface overall seems a little basic, but it is functional. Needs a bit of polish, but surely with time that will come. Overall, it's a good development to have for our national broadcaster to provide this OTT platform. The basics are in place. With a few fixes, we could have something that really is a big deal here. Remember, the government has put the equivalent of $10 million into local content production through the broadcaster this year. We spoke about it earlier on in this show. So Zed Plus becomes a legit platform on which all this locally produced content can be distributed even to the rest of the world. So, keen to hear your thoughts if you've given it a try. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the growth in African startup funding. $1.44 billion. We'll discuss that after that break. For now, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Serving you hits. Just the hits.
I got family at the end of the day. That's all I need.
Yo, what's going on? This is Drizzy Drake. This is my station.
Family. Your hit music station.
Welcome back to the Africa Tech Kin right here on ZFM Stereo, my station, your station. My name is Danny, that guy, your host and your guide through the complicated technology jungle. Let's get straight back into the show, shall we? Let's take a look at how Africa did in startup investment in the first half of 2026. The numbers are in for that first half of 2026. According to Tech Cabal Insights, African startups raised $1.44 billion between January and June 2026. That's slightly ahead of the $1.42 billion raised in the same period last year. So on the surface, it looks steady. Looks like the same amount from 2025 into 2026. But some things do jump out when we analyze the numbers. That money went into just 146 disclosed deals. Last year, that almost same amount was spread across 252 deals. That's an over 40% drop in the number of deals done to achieve basically the same amount. Fewer companies are getting funded, but the ones that are getting funded seem to be raising bigger amounts, bigger rounds. Investors have stopped spraying and praying, it seems, and they're able to pick the ones that they want to invest in specifically. The second big shift that we note is how the money is arriving. Of that total $1.44 billion US dollars, startups raised $818 million in equity, $614 million in debt, and $9 million in grants. Now, this is interesting because debt is normally what you raise when you have real assets, real cash flow. Your company is established already, electric vehicles, solar equipment, and so on. So it looks like companies are borrowing against what they own instead of selling off ownership of their companies. It shows a maturing market. The biggest deal of the half belongs to Spiro. Spiro is the Pan-African electric motorbike and battery swapping company. We've covered it extensively on this show. It announced a $215 million equity round on the 1st of June from Impact Fund Denmark and Equitaine, and then a further $55 million top-up from New Trails Capital. So that one deal is what really pushed that half-year total over the line from last year. Egypt's digital fintech lending platform, startups and their rap names. Well, that company also raised a combined $37.1 million also in June, and obviously several other companies in various sectors were able to do the same. Some more analysis. There were 63 merger and acquisition deals in Africa in that six-month period, nearly double last year's 33, which Tech Cabal says makes it the busiest half year for African tech mergers and acquisitions on record. Flutterwave acquired the banking platform Mono in an all-stock deal, reportedly in the $25 to $40 million range. Paystack took over Brass, among other acquisitions. It seems in Africa, when fresh funding is hard to find, startups are buying each other instead of dying. And mature players are buying licenses and market entry into markets rather than building their own startups in those markets. For investors, that creates exits, which is great. Exits are what keep money flowing into an ecosystem. The report also tracked more than 1,000 layoffs across African tech so far this year, up from 698 in the same period last year. Companies are now openly naming AI as the reason for the layoffs. For example, Jumia cut around 200 jobs while integrating AI into customer support. Zap Africa cut its team by 44% in an AI restructuring. But along with the layoffs, the tough economy also caused 13 startups to disclose shutdowns. The survivors adapted. There were dozens of product restructurings, market expansions, over 100 company-to-company partnerships. So, some lessons from this report. Number one, well, if your business owns assets and generates revenue, then debt financing is increasingly becoming a more viable path rather than giving away your company. Also, for early stage startups, it looks like the bar is getting higher and higher. In fact, it's the highest it's been in years. So investors are looking for proof, not just promise. And finally, just a reminder that being acquired is not failure. In many cases, it's actually success. In this market, the smartest exit might be acquisition. Okay, moving on quickly, since we're in the realm of startups, let's do a quick story on a Zimbabwean startup. A Zimbabwean startup called Afrofleet has launched a digital load board for road freight across southern Africa. This was reported in a local newspaper. If you don't know the term, a load board is essentially a marketplace for cargo. So a business that has goods that need to be moved from one place to another will post what their load is. They'll post the weight, the trailer type, the payment terms, as well as any other details that may be relevant. And verified transport operators will be able to browse through the various loads that are available, and they'll be able to bid or counter offer on the loads. Right now, most of that business across our region still runs on phone calls, brokers, spreadsheets. So Afrofleet is pitching to move that business online onto this load board. The platform integrates with telematics for real-time truck tracking, sends automated WhatsApp and email updates, and it handles the paperwork digitally with signed proof of delivery locked into an audit trail. And it vets every transporter with a unique ID. The company says it wants to expand from just Southern Africa into East and West African corridors as well, and eventually add AI-assisted optimization. Of course, these capabilities are coming through from the company itself. I'm sure they're advertising themselves, but Afrofleet is not the only company in Africa that does this. There are several load board platforms that are already fighting for Southern Africa and the rest of Africa's freight. But I did want to highlight the Zimbabwean team that are building for SADC from day one. So a big shout out to the Zimbabwean team behind Afrofleet. That's exactly the kind of startup that we need to see more and more of coming out of Zimbabwe. Finally, let's close with the biggest fight in technology that's happening right now. Last Thursday, OpenAI, the makers of ChatGPT, announced their new AI models, ready to compete with the hype that Anthropic's Claude Fable 5 had got when they released their model. OpenAI's new models, the GPT 5.6 family, come in three sizes. The first one is Sol, which is the flagship workhorse. Terra is in the middle, and Luna is the budget option. Easy word picture there. Sol, Terra, Luna, or Sun, Earth, Moon. The CEO, Sam Altman, is claiming big efficiency gains, saying that Sol is 54% more token efficient on coding tasks. Or in plain language, it does the same amount of work for less computation and therefore less cost. OpenAI is also calling this its strongest cybersecurity model yet, built for defensive work like threat modeling and reviewing code for vulnerabilities. Also, on the same day, OpenAI dropped something called ChatGPT Work, a desktop super app that bundles their chatbot, their coding agent, which is called Codex, and a browser into one workplace assistant that can build documents, presentations, even whole websites for people who can't code. In the same week, they also dropped their new voice models called GPT Live that can speak and listen at the same time. And you can interrupt it naturally. Actually, the demos of these new GPT Live models were quite impressive, to be honest. The fight, obviously, between Anthropic and OpenAI is heating up because ChatGPT Work is a direct answer to Claude Cowork, which dropped earlier on this year. That is their own workplace agent, which you install onto your computer, then it can do the same thing on your computer. Actually, the battle between OpenAI and Anthropic is fascinating. ChatGPT is probably the most well-known consumer AI tool. But Anthropic recently overtook OpenAI in revenue. And that's because Anthropic focused on enterprise. They were focusing on businesses and companies, whereas ChatGPT seemed to be getting more consumers like you and me who are going to be using their tools. Actually, OpenAI went directly at Anthropic when they announced their new GPT 5.6 model because they compared it to Claude Fable 5, claiming that this reached new benchmarks. For example, on one of the popular coding benchmarks, they put it at 2.8 points above Fable 5. So they claim that it's stronger while costing less. Anthropic, for its part, has spent the past week extending free access to Fable 5 for its subscribers. They did that twice. They had threatened that they would cut it off to its subscribers and would make it only API billing. But probably because of the launch of this new GPT 5.6, it looks like they are responding by extending access to Fable 5. Now look, if you're familiar with these tools, this is fascinating to watch. If you only know about ChatGPT and maybe you know about Claude, then really it's a case of which one works better for you. One thing that I can say is competition is good for us, the consumers. So the fact that there's this price war that's going on between GPT 5.6 and Claude Fable 5 means that likely we're going to be able to get better deals in the long run. Just do keep in mind that all these claims are very often promotional claims that are made by the companies themselves. So just something to keep in mind as well, that all of these companies are working very hard to try and push themselves as the best each time. When is Google going to catch up, by the way? Surely Gemini 3.5 Pro should be able to catch up to these other two models. We'll see. All right, that's pretty much our show this week. Thank you very much for tuning in to another episode of the Africa Tech Kin. Please, if you have any thoughts or comments on any of the stories that we've discussed, you can send them through to the WhatsApp platform right now, 0772-168-045 in the studio here at ZFM Stereo Studios, or you can comment on your social media platform of choice. Remember, this show is available on demand. You can find it on YouTube. Just search for ZFM Stereo. It drops shortly after it airs on radio, and also it's available on Current Affairs podcasts almost immediately after it airs on radio. So just search for ZFM Stereo Current Affairs on your favorite podcast app, and you can listen to this show again or on demand every time that it comes out. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. Current Affairs continues right here on ZFM Stereo, so don't go anywhere. But as for me, I'm signing out until next week. My name is Danny That Guy. We'll catch you next week. Bye-bye.
Tune in next time for Africa Tech Kin on ZFM Stereo, discussing all things tech.